look at something in Baptist history each week, and this morning we'll talk about a man who kept records in England of his church activities and some things that happened there. But, you know, around the world, even in this century, there is great persecution for followers of Christ. Much of it is suppressed, I think. I think sometimes for, or maybe most of the time, for political reasons, because we really don't want to know. The politicians don't want us to know about the abuse and the persecution and many times martyrdom around the world. And if it's about Christians, Christians are the lowest in the totem pole as far as the politicians. And so I think there's really actually great cover-up about this. But we were aware, of course, when the Soviet Union was in place, and especially afterwards when the wall came down, we, of course, learned a lot about the terrible persecution. Some had leaked out about the gulags and that before, but then, of course, we learned so much more. And we've talked about Georgie Vins and his great testimony and how he persevered in those prison camps and the many, many men and women like him that we probably won't know their names until we get to heaven. And I want to thank the Lord for those. But in Great Britain, prior to 1689, there was great persecution, and we have talked about that and given you many examples of that. But what happened in 1689 is the beginning, really, of, or one of the beginnings, and maybe it is the beginning in Western history and in modern history, of some toleration. In fact, the edict was called the Edict of Toleration. William and Mary put it in place when they came to the throne. And Baptists and other dissenters found themselves with basically more toleration. And it wasn't perfect, of course. The Church of England was still in charge, and you were persecuted in all ways if you were not a member of the Church of England. But the Edict of Toleration gave some toleration to these dissenters. But prior to that, a man named Edward Terrell, who was a member of the Bristol Baptist Congregation in Bristol, England, and he kept a running log of that assembly and during those very, very scary days. As I read through this, and I won't read it all to you, but many of that church, and this is actually, he took notes here between 1640 and 1648. He died in 1685, but between 1640 and 1648, he kept notes of where that little flock, and sometimes not so little, met to worship the Lord. And, you know, many of those folks were arrested, persecution. Many of the pastors along the way were martyred. Didn't have to worry about your retirement plan if you were a pastor of a dissenting church in those days. Life was a little more simpler than that. But many of them did not make it into even in their 30s or 40s as they were considered the leaders and they were martyred. But I wanted to read you a few of these things just to give you a feel for, you know, we just want to be thankful and not take our freedom for granted, which I know we say it all the time and we really don't. I mean, I know when we think about it, we don't take our freedom for granted, but these are just some things. Think about us meeting here this morning and think about what he's saying here. In 1682, this is just that year, January 29th, the church met at four different places. Many of them went in the afternoon on Dordon Down. He's giving areas, of course, that we don't know, and got into a cave of rock toward Clifton where Brother Thomas Winnell preached to us. March 12th, met in the fields by Barton Hundred, and Mr. Samuel Batal of Plymouth preached in the fore part of the day and Brother Winnell in the evening. It was thought that there was near 1,000 persons in that meeting. March 19th, met in the lanes beyond Baptist Hills. April 13th, met in the rain in a lane. April 20th, day of prayer from 9 to 5 in the evening at Mr. Jackson's over by the down. May 4th, this day in Baptist history. Information was brought to a petty session for Gloucestershire against Brother Jennings for preaching in the lane and a warrant for his arrest. He was imprisoned. At that point, it was just going to be £5 or all his goods. In June 11th, Brother Founds, being come from London but not daring to come into the city because of the Corporation Act. That the Corporation Act basically was a law in England that basically forbid anybody who wasn't a member of a current member of the Church of England had not taken the communion in the last 6 months and that kind of thing from holding any kind of office and so that kept all the everybody out of the government except for Church of England people, and that was this, and the pastors were heavily persecuted because that was considered an office if they were the pastor of another church, if you follow what I'm saying there. So this pastor, he preached in another place in the woods, but he was afraid to come into town because of the Corporation Act, so he met with us, preached in Kingswood under a tree and endured the rain. July 2nd, our pastor preached in another place in the wood. Our friends took much pains in the rain because many informers were ordered out to search. And we were in peace. In other words, they weren't harassed, not found out, though there were nearly 20 men and boys in the search. July 16th, Brother Founds first and Brother Winelf after preached under a tree, it being very rainy. August 20th, met above Screw's Hole in our old place and heard Brother Founds preach twice on the banks of the hill. On both days, we sang a psalm in the open woods. The 7th of December, we met in our met for our sermon at Mr. Shooter's on Redcliffe Hill in peace, not being molested, taking a great deal of care and going and coming, the women wearing neither white aprons nor pattens, so they wouldn't the white aprons wouldn't be seen from a distance. And I just thought it was interesting to read that. Think if we had to meet a different place every Sunday and every Wednesday in the rain. Some of these were in January and December in the snow. Would we be faithful? Just amazing when you think about it, that he mentions nothing here of the imprisoning and the torture and the killings. But think about that and how practical this is, and to make us remind us of this. So danger lurks in many parts of the world even today. I think of in Africa, the southern Sudan, South Sudan, that civil war that's been going on for decades, that they say over 2 million people have died in that war, just a horrendous situation. That is Muslims killing Christians. Now, that's covered up. It's not spoken like that. They talk about tribal warfare, but that's Muslims killing Christians. That's what that is. In Iraq, since we've left Iraq, the thousands of Christians that have been murdered, churches burned down. I think of there was some toleration for Christians in Syria until this last civil war, which is primarily Muslim against Christian. And, to be politically correct, again, many of our politicians refuse to identify the victims of these jihads, but that's what's going on. And it's not just Muslim against Christian, but certainly there's, communism in general that still exists, and radical Hinduism, radical Buddhism also lurks out there. And so these are terrible days for many people around the world. And we just want to thank the Lord for our freedom. I don't know if America will always be immune from this time, and we can thank God for what we have now, and let's do all we can and pray for revival, that God would see fit to give us continued freedom from this persecution. So let's remember these unknown, and some of them are our missionaries working with these people around the world, but many are unknown. Let's remember these folks around the world this morning.